This is the Tom Likas Show.
I call in regards to the Tim Likas Show.
And now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
Mad people.
Thank you for tuning in to the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live. Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at LoveMeUpTom.com. Our podcast is available on demand. Just go to PremiumTom.com. That's PremiumTom.com. It's a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And as we are every Tuesday night live at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, we are joined by attorney Adam Sachs, who is here in his guise as criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Good to see you.
Hey, Tom.
What's going on?
Buddy, what's going on?
Oh, not much. Just sitting in here doing my thing.
Having fun, huh?
Yeah, I am.
So, you know, we alternate, as you know. We do family law 1 week and criminal 1 week. And I've been having clients call in and so forth and trying to tell different kinds of stories. I have some really good ones that I'm going to save them for next time, because today, in the case of criminal law, I want to talk a little bit about this thing that's going on in Missouri.
Yeah.
Ever been to Missouri, Tom?
Yes. Yes, I have. I've been to St. Louis.
I'm afraid so, eh?
Well, there's a White Castle on every street corner, and that's a good thing. I like that.
I thought that was only New Jersey.
Went to the ballpark, went to the Arch. National time there.
I heard there was a White Castle in Long Beach at one time.
Long Beach, California?
Yes, yes.
There could have been.
Yes, but it closed, apparently.
Well, there was a Jack in the Box in Center Beach, Long Island at one time. When Jack in the Box was owned by your friends and mine, Ralston Purina, the makers of Purina Ketchup.
Dog food, excellent.
And Meow Mix.
Very nice.
They you know they once owned Jack in the Box?
Why not?
And in the 60s, there was a Jack in the Box on Long Island. It has long since been shuttered. And I bet you're excited now because Dunkin' Donuts is coming to town.
There you go. That's what we've been waiting for, right?
That's right.
Put Yum Yums out of business.
Yum Yum. That's the best Cambodian donut I've ever had.
I know.
Come on.
The best, of course. So,
yes.
What happened is that I think the really shocking thing, and what everyone's sort of excited about, and we see how it attracts our old favorite New York friends, the Sharptons and that crowd. I grew up on that Tawana Brawley drama and then that whole thing where it started.
Did you read Tawana Brawley's book?
I did not.
It's called Looking Out for Number Two.
Oh, dear. I heard that she... That's nice, Tom. I heard that... I heard she lives
did
in...
Did you just get it?
Yeah, I just got it. That's beautiful. I heard she's a nurse and she lives in Virginia, apparently. So
really?
There you go. Life is full of mystery.
Oh, my.
But I think that, you know, to the rest of us, basically, that's flyover territory. Missouri is the heartland, and so that's, you know, supposed to be more down-to-earth folk than us city folk, right, in L.A. and New York and whatnot. And, you know, it's especially, you know, shocking to people. You see someone obviously killed and killed by the police. And, you know, it happens a lot. It happens all the time. The police use deadly force. That's what they're there for.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking about how it reflects in, you know, some of the cases I do and some of the things that we've talked about. And it really relates, you know, across the board. There's definitely some idea, and this used to be true of everything. You know, there used to be particularly, let's say, Congress was meant to be for 2 years. And, you know, I'd watch your farm, and you'd go serve for 2 years, and then you'd watch my farm, and I'd go serve for 2 years. And we see how that's changed, and now we have congressmen that are there for their whole life, keep getting, you know, reelected for 40 years or whatever, and make a career out of it. I think what they were trying to do, at least in theory, was what they call community policing. Now, there's even a program, for example, in California, what they call Officer Next Door, where they give preferential loans and so forth for police to live in the neighborhood where they police. And, you know, police used to be called, you know, peace officers. I mean, that's actually not a joke. They were peace officers. They were, you know, keeping the peace. And one of the things that they've been talking about, and this is certainly correct, if you look at who police are, a lot of them are guys that had at one time been in the military. And we had obviously a lot of conflagrations around the world in the past years. So they may have served in combat in the Gulf War and Afghanistan and so forth. and they come back, and obviously in civilian life they're fairly well suited towards being a policeman, which is fine. But when you talk about the idea of who they are and what they represent, and this is something that's come up in this Missouri thing, where you have a predominantly white police force, which polices this, you know, predominantly black area. Now, theoretically, that shouldn't make a difference. And I think that, you know, especially you and I, Tom, we're growing up in very diverse places. Obviously, California, particularly Los Angeles, New York and so forth, and some of the other cities. I mean, it's not like living in Sweden or Salt Lake City where, you know, everyone's white or whatever. But when you talk about the connection to the police force, there certainly has been an influence where it has become more and more of a paramilitary organization. They get surplus materials from the Pentagon. If you look at them now, police forces have tanks and they have different kinds of advanced weapons and shooting with not just handguns and so forth.
They dress in camouflage now.
Well, yeah, that's true. They look like a paramilitary force or commando force. You remember, Tom, there was that unbelievable bank robbery which happened here in L.A.
Bank of America, North Hollywood.
Thank you.
Yes.
That's exactly right. I've seen some very interesting documentaries about it. But what happened, that it was supposed to be a legend, but it's not a legend. Apparently it's true. The police actually were quite outgunned. They were firing at bank robbers that actually had bulletproof vests and so forth. And they literally went into a gun store in the neighborhood over there in North Hollywood. And the police, I'm talking, went to the gun store and got weapons from the gun store because they literally were outgunned. In terms of the bank robbers having automatic assault rifles and other kinds of advanced weapons, and the police actually had to kind of get something to match that. So there is, you know, the breakdown where you have special teams among the police like SWAT that use more militaristic tactics, but there's this whole issue of what the police's role is. And it's sort of in between. I know that your brother is a prison guard, right? So he's sort of involved in some kind of law enforcement. And, you know, I don't mean to get on and bash the cops because I know we've had a good relationship with them, certainly the show.
Yeah.
I think that most police are professionals. I've had a lot of interactions with police in my life, and I'm a white guy, I guess, but I can't say that they were particularly bad or good or whatever. They just seem professional to me. And I think that people have to remember that the time to argue about what's happened is in court, not on the side of the road. And the smart thing to do, generally speaking, and some people find this very difficult, and some people may even find this, you know, humiliating, but the really smart thing to do is to, you know, show some respect and do what they want, essentially. There is the overwhelming thing, which I think is crucial, and I've talked about it so many times, which is to shut up, to not talk, to not volunteer information. There's a lot of people who I talk to who start telling me about Officer John or Officer Bob. And Tom used to talk about guys that would go to strip clubs, which I know you frown on.
Yes.
And the stripper would give them their card. Like a stripper has a business card. I love that.
Here, let me give you my cell phone in case you need to reach me.
Yeah. So you're special because the stripper gave you her cell phone. And there's actually a thing where police have cards, and they will give you their card. And people will say to me, well, I don't think that's going to happen because John told me that, you know, he wasn't going to do that. And I'm like, who the hell's John? And they're like, oh, Officer John. Like they think they're on a first name basis. Or Latinos in particular, for example, will have a police officer who's Latin as well or who speaks to them in Spanish. And they think that somehow this guy is on their side. And the officer will say things to them like, well, don't worry about this. This probably won't be a point, and this probably won't go forward, and you don't have to worry about it. And you know, it's very nice for them to try to comfort you in some way. But, you know, you have to take legal advice from a lawyer. And taking legal advice from the officer who is arresting you is probably not such a good idea.
Right.
He's not really looking out for your best interests.
No.
And when you talk about the circumstances of people getting into real confrontations. Now, we don't know exactly what happened in Missouri, but on the other hand, you know, when you talk about people who are arguing with cops, that's a really stupid thing to do. Like I said, you're smartest to say, you know, officer, I really think I stopped. And he says, no, you didn't. And you say, okay. And he gives you the ticket. And if you want to piss around, then hire someone like me and we'll go to court and we'll argue. And that's the place. But to be in the circumstance and the officer is getting frustrated with you and you're pissing him off, that's probably a very, very foolish step to take. Now, let me say something else, Tom, and this is, I think, the tragic lesson of Fullerton, but it's also a lesson from the Rodney King case as well. You know, excuse me, the Rodney King case was really unique because that was when video cameras were getting less and less expensive. Now they're so ubiquitous, they're in every telephone. But at one time they were still expensive, but they were becoming more common, and that's when you had the Rodney King beating and the guy made a film of it. And even in that case, you know, the police were acquitted, which people couldn't believe. And I don't need to remind everybody, but the Fullerton thing, which was also on video, by the way, with audio, and the police said some very awful things to the guy, like, look at these fists, they're going to fuck you up, as I recall. And, you know, those police were also acquitted. So when people are screaming and yelling about justice and so forth in Ferguson, you know, if that police officer really is charged and, you know, he goes on trial, the probability and chance of him being convicted is extremely remote. I mean, police have to be really, really out of control to have any kind of punishment. And generally, they don't get convicted of these crimes and offenses. Generally, the public believes police. They are willing to accept tactics. What happened in Fullerton was that they had a police expert who had trained these officers and others, and he was saying that they followed correct procedure. Now, it killed the guy, but it was still correct procedure. This one that got, I feel bad, I don't know his name, this heavy guy that got the stranglehold in Staten Island.
Oh, yes.
What's his name?
Wait a minute, I had his name. It's, Eric Garner.
Okay. You know, that was awful. And that was also videoed. There was actually, I think, two videos, sort of like from the beginning and the end. And, you know, that officer just pounced on the guy. The guy was arguing with him, which, as I've said, is not brilliant. But I don't know that he was particularly threatening. And it's always awful when these people turn up, you know, dead. I mean, it wasn't worth his life, right? Whatever the hell it was.
Right.
Even if he, you know, was, I don't know, selling cigarettes or whatever the thing they were carrying on about, which is nonsense.
Yeah, does that deserve the death penalty?
Yeah, I don't think he's supposed to die for that. And to be frank, with this other guy who shoplifted the cigars, I heard that, you know, in the video, the clerk tries to stop him or confronts him, and he pushes the clerk. So I think that raises it from just shoplifting to actually like a robbery. But again, you know, death is not supposed to be.
I thought you go to the courtroom and then the jury decides if you're guilty.
Yeah, maybe you get 6 months or something, you know. So we're supposed to have that, you know, in the days of old England, every felony was punishable by death. So that's not really in proportion to any kind of
a
graduation of punishment. You just
might as well just close the courtroom and let the cops decide who's guilty.
Just like deal with it on the street, eh? So I think that the great lesson to kind of come away with, generally speaking, and this is what I really want to talk about with you, Tom. I always love to hear your perspective. But I think that our society has become a lot more complex. And I think that you definitely see the police confronting, in all fairness to them, a very difficult situation. You know, it's confusing. I think there's all kinds of crazy stuff going on. We saw in the Fullerton case, among others, that the police are interacting with people speaking different languages, people that are mentally ill. And I don't know necessarily that the people that tend to go into police work are necessarily the smartest people in the world in the first place, and they may not be the most sensitive, and they're coming into complex situations, and in a lot of ways they're society's garbage men. I mean, they're going into the street where, you know, you have homeless people and mentally ill people and all kinds of other crazy shit going on. I think they see a lot of crazy things, and it definitely influences their perspective. And if a police officer starts talking to you and you're telling him, you know, fuck you and, you know, get the hell away from him, I mean, you know, you're being foolish. It's really stupid. On the other hand, it's understandable. Now, I have a client now, Tom, who got pulled over for a DUI, and he had a history in his life of issues and problems with the police. In one instance, the police broke down the door of his house early in the morning, got everyone on the ground, pointed guns at his mother's head and so forth, and it ended up turning out that they had literally gone to the wrong place. They went to the wrong address. Isn't that awful?
I've seen that a lot.
He was very traumatized by that. And then he saw one of his friends get shot or something like that. He had some kind of incident where he was forced to like kneel down on the pavement with some other friends of his for many hours while the police were like doing an investigation or something. And he asked, you know, what's going on, and the cop pushed him or hit him or knocked him over or something. So when he got pulled over lately for the DUI, he froze. He literally shut down, and he just couldn't deal with it emotionally. So he didn't do any of the tests or whatever. He didn't cooperate. So as you can imagine, the police got even more hysterical. They were very upset. And, you know, so I'm trying to work on this case to show that this guy had this basically some kind of post-traumatic thing where, like, someone who had been fighting in war, he, like, came into contact with the police and wasn't even their fault necessarily. He just had this associative reaction where he, like, freaked out. And I definitely think there's a balance. Now, I saw a couple of videos by one by Mr. Checkpoint where he wouldn't lower his window at the checkpoint. And you don't have to. He's right, and so forth and so on. But you could see how the police got more and more angry with him. And, you know, there's definitely a certain bit of bravery in doing that. And then on the other hand, there's a certain bit of real stupidity. And I really would have to tell you guys, you know, and I say it, look, the cops have a job. It's a lousy job to do, and they are definitely not your friends. And Officer Bob, who gave you his card like the stripper did, you know, the stripper doesn't love you either, but Officer Bob is definitely going to be the one who testifies against you. And if you think he's going to testify favorably, he's not. The reason I tell guys not to do the field sobriety test, for example, on a DUI pullover, is because there is no way you're going to pass. I mean, it just isn't. You're going to fail the test for sure. That's why they have it. And so that's going to give them probable cause to give you the breath test and everything else that there is. I have an interesting case now of a guy who was pulled over in a checkpoint, and the cop said, you know, you look strange. Your eyes are bloody, bloodshot. You don't look well. What's going on? And the guy said, I don't know, blah, blah. Adam Sachs told me not to do the field sobriety test. So the cop said, okay, let's do the blow test. And somehow he convinced the guy to do the blow test, which he doesn't have to, but he did it, and it came back 0.0. So it was true. He wasn't drinking. So the cop said, I don't know, something isn't right about you. And the guy said, well, I smoked a joint.
Oh, God. Are you kidding me?
So, I mean, please, please shut up, man. Shut up. Let them solve the mystery, okay?
Right.
You know, when you talk about my experience going to law school, which I don't think I've talked too much about, a lot of the guys that were in law school with me were ex-cops, quite a few. There's some kind of a thing. This was in New York, Tom. And there's some kind of a thing, maybe more so there, I don't know, whatever, cops who get injured. They didn't look very injured, but they apparently had been injured, some of them, and had been on like 100% or 90% disability. And so they're collecting basically this disabled pension, and they're, you know, fairly young guys. They're only on the force for a few years. And they decided, what the hell, let's go to law school, you know. That's kind of a related thing in terms of law enforcement and all. And I got to tell you, the stories that they told were very, very cynical, very cynical. I mean, they had been cops, particularly in the New York Police Department in New York and, you know, Manhattan and Long Island and so forth. And they said, you know, what great hatred and disdain they had for the people there. This one particular guy who I thought was really a nice guy, by the way, I just wouldn't have wanted to be on the wrong side of him. I remember thinking, like, if this guy pulled me over, I would have been petrified, you know? But as a person, he was a very nice guy, very decent, and I'm sure he's a great lawyer. He's probably been a lawyer, you know, all these years, as long as me. But he said that, you know, you scrape one piece of shit off the street, and he's immediately replaced by another. that was his line. And he was saying how you'd put the guy in the back seat of the police car for the, you know, the arrest, and you could turn around and see the new person replacing the old person that you had just arrested, you know? And he had been in the Bronx, Tom, so that would be extra special for you.
Oh, yes.
The extra neighborhood flavor there.
Yeah.
But I remember thinking, and this is something that I hope the listeners are going to be aware of, this guy was not a racist. He really wasn't. And he wasn't crazy. He was actually quite intelligent, I think. And he was not trigger happy. He saw the world in a very cynical way, which I think is probably extremely common to people that have been police for a while. And probably not to humiliate yourself, but to comply and to try to cooperate, at least to some degree, not to your own detriment. But, you know, what cooperate means is different to different people. But I think that if you spoke to him normally and respectfully, you would probably do the best. And that's the smartest advice I can give you. So when you're pulled over, and, you know, I think once is okay. What the cop will say to you very often, do you know why I pulled you over? I think you never answer that. I think that's like, do I look fat in this dress, you know? That you're screwed. Don't even bother. If your wife says that to you, just go into another room and read a magazine, okay? But when you talk about, do you know why I pulled you over, you should always say no. You say, no, not really, officer. I thought I was driving fine. And, you know, say, well, you know, you were weaving and you were speeding and I thought maybe you had a drink tonight. You know, did you have a drink tonight? And you just, you know, I think very calmly say, no, I really didn't. And, but, you know, I don't think that this thing where you see stupid people and unsophisticated people picking fights with the cop, you know, where the cop says, you know, I'm writing you up for going through the red light. And you say, well, I thought it was yellow. And no, it was red. No, you know, it was yellow. I think that's really stupid. I think if it's once and you disagree, you say, okay, I understand, officer. And you sign, and you want to fight about it, you fight in court, not on the side of the road. That's a great lesson. And with respect to these other things I'm talking about, you don't have to incriminate yourself. It's very important. And this is something that when you're on the side and they start getting into it, and that's the conversation about who's who and what's going on, the officer is not your friend. So when he starts saying to you, look, you know, they use psychology on you, police psychology, and a lot of it is deception. And they say to you, look, we want you to go. We want you to go home. Let's just get this over with, okay? Let's clear your name. Just tell me what you did and everything will be fine. Okay, that's really stupid, okay? And Chris Rock had a whole thing about that where your girlfriend knows you cheated, but she wants the confession. So she tells you, you know, if you tell me the truth, it'll be all right, you know? Just tell me the truth and it'll be okay. And so, you know, you can't fall for that. You have to be able to say to the officer, look, I understand you're doing your job, but I'm not taking the breath test, okay? I want the blood test. I've told this to you guys 10 trillion times. When I look at a police report, you have got to see the police write every single word that you've said down. So this thing where they say, you know, can and will be used against you, that's not a joke. It's not that it can be used against you. It can and it will be used against you. And those officers that you're confronting are going to come to your case, to your trial, and they're going to testify against you. And they're going to have notes, and they're going to say how you looked, what you said, what you did. So it's really important to be neutral.
Now let me clarify something here.
Yes.
Because I want to make sure that everybody is clear on this one point. You talk about not being obligated to incriminate yourself.
Right.
But is it legal? And will it hurt your case? Yeah, if you lie and say, I didn't drink anything, officer, I didn't have anything to drink. It's one thing not to say anything, but telling a lie, is there something wrong with that?
I think it's always smarter to deny. If you want to be silent and say
so
nothing.
There's no, I want people to understand. There's no, you know, like when you're on the witness stand in court, you're taking, you know. All right, so when you get to court, now, you told the officer, no, officer, I didn't have anything to drink. If you ever get to a trial, do you lie again? And if you don't they point out the disparity between those two things?
You have to remember that saying you did have something to drink is tantamount to confessing.
Right.
So you're better off saying, I don't want to talk about it, I don't want to answer, or denying it. I have nothing to tell you. I don't. Did I drink? No, I didn't drink today. That's a denial. That's
so what you're saying is when that person, again, I'm just trying to understand. Yeah, I'm not trying to give you a hard time.
Am I consulting to lie to the cops? I mean, you know.
Well, not just the cops. Now, when I go to court and I'm under oath and I'm sitting there with a judge and possibly a jury, I told the cop I didn't have a single thing to drink. Do I lie under oath to be consistent or do I tell the truth?
I think I'm going to have you not testify at the trial, like it's your trouble.
I'm just trying to find out. I just want to make sure I do the right thing.
I think the best thing to do is not to drink and drive. But if
I agree.
If you are a trapped rat, I would say to just not say anything. And the cops start saying, how many of you had to drink tonight, whatever. The classic standard answer people say is, couple of beers, okay?
Right.
That's the stupidest thing you can say. Right. That's two beers. You're drunk. Fucked up. What are you doing? Shut up.
Right.
If I would rather you say, I don't really want to talk about it. I don't want to answer. I'm sorry. I'm not interested in your investigation. Or, like you said, even lie. No, I haven't had anything to drink. Too bad.
All right. Okay? Yeah, but to clarify. Now, all right, let's say it gets to a courtroom. Let's say they don't.
I guess you're not going to look like the greatest human being there ever was.
No, but do I lie? Do I continue the lie into the courtroom and lie under oath? Or do I then tell the truth and then run the risk they're going to go, well, wait a minute. You told the cop you didn't have anything to drink, and now here you are under oath, and you're saying you did.
I think you're going to be incriminated most by the test. The blood test is what's going to get you.
Right.
I don't know if your testimony is going to make that much of a difference, to be frank. The bottom line is the confession that people tell is so remarkable. It's so remarkable. I have so many people, Tom, that literally said, I heard you on the show. I mean, we've been doing this a long time, Tom. They say, I heard you on the show. I heard you tell Tom not to say anything. I knew I wasn't supposed to say anything. And then I told the cop I did it. And I'm like, man, why'd you do that? I don't know. There's definitely some kind of thing where the police are like authorities. They're like your parents. You don't want to lie. You're scared. They're trying to sweet talk you a little bit. It's never smart. You always shut up. And if you're gonna talk, I have to tell you, Tom, I would rather you say that you had nothing, even if it's a lie, than to confess, which is to say a couple of beers. That's really, really stupid. When you talk about some of the greatest crimes in history, they've always been made by people being stupid and talking to the police. That guy that was Michael Jackson's doctor, Conrad Murray?
Yes.
I read a whole thing about that investigation, and the police had nothing on the guy. And he started to talk to them, and he helped them fill in the details. A little bit here and a little bit there, and they got the whole story, and it was enough to go after.
Did he have a lawyer?
Not at that time.
Really?
Now, at the beginning, you'd be surprised how many people that are not stupid, that have money, will not hire a lawyer until the last possible minute. And what ends up happening is that one way or another, any statements they make are helping the police piece together and figure out what happened and building the case against them. So the best advice, whatever it is, from the simplest to the most complicated, is shut up. Shut up.
Right. I know lawyers who won't hire lawyers. Lawyers won't hire lawyers.
That's right.
Like, even if that's not their specialty.
Oh, that's classic.
A lawyer who's I've known more than one entertainment attorney who needed a criminal attorney and did not hire one because he's like, well, I'm an attorney.
Lawyers don't want to spend money on lawyers for themselves,
Or but, I think there's a level among certain lawyers, there's a level of arrogance. Like, I'm a lawyer, I'm immune, okay?
Oh, dear.
I'm Superman. I can go in there and handle this. I've handled so many other people, I'll handle me.
You don't handle yourself. There's a great line, which is the person who represents themselves has a fool for a client.
Right. Well, I told you about the time I signed a contract to work at a radio station. I was about to sign a contract to work at a radio station in Phoenix before I came to L.A. The station was owned in part by the general manager, who was an attorney licensed by the bar of the state of Michigan. And so I moved from Miami to Phoenix, take this job, and I'm having a conversation with my new boss. And here's what he says to me. What he said. I said, we got to get a contract together. We got to do that. And he says, well, let me tell you something. He was from Detroit, and he had that accent. Let me tell you something. Here's the beauty part.
You don't need an attorney. I'm an attorney.
Oh, good.
That's what he said to me. You don't need an attorney. I'm an attorney. If you have any questions about the contract, you can just ask me about them because I'm a lawyer.
Yeah, but you're not my lawyer, pal.
He actually said that to me.
Okay.
And, you know, there are people out there who've heard that, or they've heard the other one that says, you know, oh, my wife has an attorney. What do I need an attorney for? Other similar nonsense, you know.
Well, there's also kinds of attorneys. I've done a lot of cases where somebody got a friend of the family who's a real estate attorney,
yeah.
And now he's, you know, giving it a whirl on family law,
yeah,
which is not quite the same thing. Yeah.
No. Not at all.
I'm afraid not.
All right, we got callers coming in, so we're going to take a break here. We're going to come back. We have one caller who says he was accused of shoplifting, falsely.
Ooh.
Didn't do it, but he was accused. And we have another caller who was arrested for resisting arrest.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, yeah. And it's all coming up as we continue with this bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs.
Over 700,000 tune-ins every month. Don't fuck with us. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Everyone knows someone in a bad marriage or relationship who doesn't get laid and puts up with all kinds of crap. Well, now there's a new YouTube show about why you shouldn't get married or have kids. It's called I Don't. The show follows a young guy who's planning to propose to his girlfriend, but is confronted by his two older brothers on whether or not to go through with it. Now, one brother is happily married, and the other brother, happily single. Other Likas listeners are loving it. ARP on the Internet said this is like a Likas 101 instructional video. Joe Goodman said, wow, the series was awesome. Love the ending. And at Just Lauren B. said, this is a 30-minute sitcom waiting to happen. All episodes are available for free right now on YouTube. Simply go to idontseries.com. That's idontseries.com. And don't forget to share it with that someone in your life. You'll be doing them a big favor. It's I Don't at idontseries.com.
You know, America loves the Gary and Dino show, especially when they're talking donkey sex.
I turned it and jerk him off slowly. He's looking for a cigarette now. It's over. Can't you see how you fucked us up? How many times you twist while you're jerking them all?
17 minutes past the hour now. It's the Iris of the Morning program. Well, you know the wetbacks do that all the time when they can't get their hands on actual cock. They go right for the donkey.
Guts. Glory. Stupidity.
You know, the mules are hung even bigger than those a Negro.
The Gary and Dino Show.
Warner now with sports.
Go to GaryandDino.com.
Okay, boys. Let's talk about step-ups. That's step-ups. Top quality insoles. Now, as you know, chicks bring so many deceiving tactics to the game, it's ridiculous. Fake knockers, nails, eyelashes, hair color. How about high heels? Women are never the height they appear to be. Well, now it's your turn to even the playing field, and that's where step-ups come in. With step-ups, anyone, even you, can be 2 inches taller instantly. Thanks to revolutionary technology, step-ups fit perfectly inside your shoe, and no one will ever know they're there. And while wearing step-ups, you can do anything you normally do. Get them now for the ridiculously low price of $21.95. And not only that, for a limited time only, enter coupon code TOM101 and get free lifetime replacement on your step-ups. Did you hear that? Lifetime replacement for Tom Likas Show listeners only. Plus, they'll throw in a free upgrade to priority shipping. Go to step-ups.com for a unique, ultra-comfortable walking on air experience. Life is short. You don't have to be. Get step-ups today.
Camera time.
Oh, I love that.
It's the Tom Likas Show from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. 901-3000 Tom is our telephone number here. Talk to
in this case, criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs is here in the studio. And if you've got questions, he's got free legal advice for you right now. Just start dialing 901-3000, Tom, 901-3000-866. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's say hello here to Charlie in Los Angeles. Charlie, you're on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hey, Charlie.
Several weeks ago, I went to a well-known grocery chain here in Southern California to purchase some beer. As I was purchasing it on the way out, the security guard stopped me as he was on the phone and accused me. He said he saw me stealing shrimp.
Shrimp?
Shrimp. You know? I said, what do you mean? I said, what do you mean I'm stealing shrimp?
You put a bag of shrimp down your pants? Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. So I took it as a joke, and then he continued to stop me, and he was on the phone with the police. He says, no, the police are on their way. And at that point, I started getting a little bit upset because I had my receipt, the beer in the basket, and he said he sent me stealing shrimp. So I started getting more upset and telling him I emptied out of my pockets. I don't have any shrimp on me. He goes, no, I seen you with my eyes taken. By that time, there was about 3 cop cars outside. I seen them. They came pretty fast. So I said, let me just go out there and take care of this. Walked out with my hands up. You know, I'm from Southern California, Mexican, bald head, so I automatically get. So anyways, I ended up, the cops get down, you know, guns drawn, everything.
Jeez.
Searched me up and down. They searched me up and down. And then the cops said, look, I'm putting the handcuffs on. I'm not arresting you. I'm just going to put you in the cop car to find out what happened. I explained to him. I showed him my receipt. I just came to buy some beer. He's accusing me of stealing shrimp. He goes, okay, I'm going to get to the bottom of it. Went, talked to the security guard, came back, and just came into the cop car and then started driving to the police station. I said, why am I being arrested? He goes, have you been drinking? I go, no. I go, I was about to start drinking until I was really interrupted by you guys. He says, well, I'm taking you in for disorderly conduct.
Oh, man. Oh, you got to be kidding me.
He ended up taking me in the holding cell for 12 hours and ended up releasing me. And the next day, my cousin had went back to the grocery store, and the grocery store checked their cameras and ended up giving my cousin the beer that I purchased. So there was no, I was on camera not taking anything falsely accused, and I still got arrested. So pretty much, I just want to
really
go buy some beer. Yeah, and I just want to go buy some beer, and all this commotion happened for no reason.
Can you sue somebody for that if you were falsely arrested or falsely accused?
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about a store, you know, they have the right to search you to some degree, depending on the circumstances. And if they have a reason to think that you were shoplifting, like they saw it on a camera, he put shrimp in his pocket, or the hell he's talking about.
Yeah, but the reason is this guy's a cholo. That's his deal. He's Mexican. That's his thing.
Right.
Sounds a little.
That's why.
Sounds a little suspicious.
By the way, Charlie, can I ask you a question that's off the subject here for a moment? The Children's Hospital of Orange County, they call it CHOC. You know about that? You see it advertised on the Angels game. CHOC. Children's Hospital.
The CHOC?
CHOC, Children's Hospital of Orange County. You've seen that, right?
Yeah.
Why isn't the Children's Hospital of Los Angeles called CHOLA?
Well, there you go.
That's a good one right there.
Always thinking.
Tom is always 10 steps ahead, man.
All right, anyway.
There is something to that, Tom. I feel really bad this happened to you the way you've described it. I mean, it's really
But in reality,
stupid.
here's the thing that pisses me off about this. Charlie, you correct me if I'm wrong. You know, it feels like even if you tried to do something about this, file a lawsuit, where would a guy like this even get started? The cops, it's in favor of the cops, in favor of the business owner, it's in favor of everybody except the little guy.
Now, Charlie, Charlie, do you have a court date coming up?
No, the officers gave me a piece of paper saying that I wasn't arrested, I was just detained.
No, I understand, but you said you were charged with disorderly conduct.
Yeah.
So don't you have a court date coming up now?
No, it was just they just put me in the holding tank for 12 hours, and that was it.
They were saying you were drunk.
Saying that I was drunk. I think that me being upset and me being aggressive at the security guard for accusing me being a cholo buying beer, it kind of looked like I was like I was intoxicated, which I wasn't.
Wow. Well, listen, I'm really sorry that happened to you. It's really crazy. It just seems like, on some level.
I just want to go buy some beer and.
No, I know, I know. But
for no reason.
If you want to try to make sense out of it, it seems on some level that you were arguing with the store security guy. Is that right?
I wasn't arguing with him. I was emptying out my pockets and I was saying, I don't have anything. I showed him my receipt. I go, I don't have nothing on me. Here's what. You could search me. Go ahead. He said, no, the cops are on their way. The cops are on their way. By that time, the cops were already there. They were there pretty
quick.
Yeah,
I mean, I would just, you know, sit down with my hands on my knees, you know. Remember, hands kill, okay? They're very aware of where your hands are. And I would say, look, man, I don't know what we're talking about here. I didn't do anything. It's crazy, and that's it. I mean, seriously, to let it get into a situation, you see these people getting killed over a box of cigars. I mean, that's really stupid. And it really strikes me. I don't think your life is worth this stuff. And you're dealing with some idiot who's a store security guy, and he's convinced that you stole a bag of fucking shrimp. So, that is, come on, man. I'm sorry to laugh, but that is so stupid.
I agree. That's so off the wall. I really thought it was a joke. Like, you're not being serious, are you? And
yeah.
Like, apparently he was.
Yeah, you know, that's a little sickening, you know?
That's like, yeah,
come
so
on,
then, do I have any options at this point?
I don't know. I guess you could write a complaint of some kind. Why don't you know, call me off the air and we'll talk about it. But I mean, honestly, there's no big lawsuit or something. I'm surprised that it escalated like that. And you know, you have to play a part really in de-escalation, where you got to say, hey, everybody, when the cops are coming in, you go, hey, officers, nothing happened. I'm compliant. I don't know why this guy called you. I didn't steal anything. Everything's fine. I don't understand this whole situation. You know.
And Wouldn't you smell like shrimp? Come on.
Come on, shrimp. Give me. That's the stupidest thing I heard so far.
Of all the things you accuse someone of stealing.
Fucking shrimp. A bag of shrimp. That's amazing.
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable, man.
Charlie, hold on. I'm going to hook you up with
Dino.
Will hook you up with Adam, and you guys can talk.
Listen,
about
there's definitely elements of racism, and if it's some stereotypic Mexican with the bald head or whatever, but even so, that doesn't mean
he's a shoplifter. They're my biggest customers. How can you call them the suspects?
No, but why is he a shoplifter? What the hell is he stealing? He's buying beer and stealing shrimp? Look, who comes up with this stuff?
Right. Dick.
That's really ignorant.
Unbelievable. All right, 901-3000 Tom. That's our telephone number here at the Tom Likas Show. It's a bonus hour. If you're listening at 6:45 West Coast time or 9:45 East Coast time, on Tuesday, the 19th of August, 2014, you are listening to a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show, and you can call in and talk with Adam, and you can ask your free legal questions. He's here answering questions as a criminal defense attorney. Next week, it'll be all about family law. Right now, your calls at 901-3000-TOM if you want to talk to Adam. 901-3000-TOM coming up next. We'll tell you how to get in touch with Adam. It's 901-3000-866.
Radio would never, ever let us do this.
901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Time for me to talk to you about Pro Flowers, boys. Pro Flowers, this is an amazing deal. It's for a limited time only. And you all know about Pro Flowers. We've talked about Pro Flowers many times on the show. Pro Flowers is back on our program, and they've got an amazing deal for you. Are you ready? All right, here it is. You can get 18 red roses right now. You can send them to anybody. 18 red roses and a free vase for only $19.99. All right? This is the biggest sale of red roses I've ever heard of. Now, again, 18 red roses and a free vase for only $19.99. All you need to do is go to proflowers.com, click on the blue microphone in the top right corner, and use my code. It's my name, Likas, L-E-Y-K-I-S, and get this amazing offer. And check it out. You can upgrade to 2 dozen red roses plus free chocolates and a premium vase for just $9.99 more. Now, anyone who's used Pro Flowers knows the truth, okay? Pro Flowers is quick. It's easy. You pick your delivery date, and that date is guaranteed. You can't beat the price or the convenience. It's less than $20. Take my word for it. I've got Pro Flowers at my home right now. I got them direct from Pro Flowers. Can I tell you something? Not only were they unbelievable when they were delivered, they are still unbelievable, still looking great. Now, here's the only way to get this amazing deal. It's 18 red roses plus a free vase for only $19.99. Go to proflowers.com. Click on the microphone in the top right corner of the page and type in "like us." Got that? Go to proflowers.com, click on the microphone, type in L-E-Y-K-I-S, and order today.
Do you have tiny balls? You know, you once had big balls, but things started changing around you. First television, then your favorite radio station. It all became so vaginized that slowly but surely, your balls just started to wither away. Well, don't worry. You're not alone. Up to 98% of men suffer from tiny ball syndrome. That's right, TBS. But now, there's hope. 4 out of 5 doctors recommend New Normal Rock. New Normal Rock, just by removing ballads, broads, and bullshit from your hard rock diet, will help you grow your balls back and get you back to that big bald lifestyle you deserve. New Normal Rock. Newer, faster, harder rock for big, healthy balls. Ask your doctor.
Sorry, guys, believe what you will, but alcoholism is not a disease, and AA is not the only way. Take back control of your life with the help of Paul Beatty and Sydney Counselors. You know Paul. He calls from Sydney all the time. Well, Paul has years of experience helping guys who suffer from severe crisis, suicidal tendencies, and more. He studied a range of approaches and can tailor sessions based on what works for you. Now, these are not meetings in basements with bad coffee and donuts. This is one-on-one counseling designed to address issues head-on and help you get back on track. Paul's focus is to help men find their own way through many common issues, not just alcohol and other addictions, but depression, self-esteem, coping with crisis, and managing anxiety and stress, even getting over relationships. Now, if you're in Sydney, great. You can meet face-to-face for counseling at Paul's office in North Sydney. Or if you're anywhere else in the world, you can meet with Paul via Skype or phone from the comfort of your own home. Visit Sydney Counselors at supportforguys.com. Go there right now, supportforguys.com, and take back control today.
Hammer time.
The John Likas Show from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. And here we are with attorney Adam Sachs. Before we run out of time, Adam, tell everybody how they can get in touch with you.
Well, you can call me toll-free at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can check my website, www.adamlawyer.com, which, by the way, just crashed the server, Tom.
Really?
I had to, I had to upgrade my bandwidth.
Oh, my.
It's so popular. I love it. And you can email me at adam@adamlawyer.com. That's adam@adamlawyer.com. And I do answer my own phone.
Adam Sachs here every Tuesday for the bonus hour, 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Oh, I love that.
And here we go to, here is Alex in Boise, Idaho. Alex, you're on with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Yeah, how's it going?
Great.
Hey, Alex, what's up?
Yeah, so here's the deal, man. I got arrested last Saturday.
No,
not just following Saturday before that, about 10 days ago. Yeah, for charge was resisting and obstructing. Now, here's a story. Here's what happened. It'll be real quick. My friend was at a party, a little house party going on, and he told me to come pick him up. And I was on the way to pick him up. Now, prior to me getting there, I didn't know this at the time, but prior to me getting there, there was an argument outside, somewhat of a fight, I guess. I had no knowledge of that before coming up. I got there, everything was resolved, nobody was outside. I called my friend, he comes outside, and he's like, "Oh, let's smoke a cigarette before we take off." So I'm like, "Okay, that's cool. We're both 21 years old. Be outside smoking a cigarette, that's all right, you know, on a Saturday night."
All right.
check this out. So then, you know, a few cop cars roll up, and they come up to us, and then one of them, there was about three cops right there. One of them looks at me, and I'm about 6 foot tall, about 185 pounds. I got a full beard on my face, actually. And the cop looked at me and said, oh, you don't look like you're 18. And I laughed about it. I was like, are you serious? I mean, I got facial hair on my face. My friend's like, we're 21. And he says, I'm going to need to see your ID. And then, I mean, I've listened to your guys' show before, and to my knowledge, you know, what you're supposed to say is, am I being arrested or detained? And that's exactly what I said. And shortly after me asking if I was being arrested or detained, I had three cops on me, put me in a headlock, grabbed my legs, threw me in the back of the car, and went straight to jail. There wasn't even I didn't even get to go through the process. To my knowledge, it's supposed to be, you know, am I being arrested or detained?
No,
and then if not, I can walk away, right?
Yeah, that's terrible, man. That's just wrong. But, you know, I don't know. See, in that situation, I mean, you don't have to. You're not supposed to have to show ID. You're not supposed to have to do any of these things. So on some level, you're absolutely right. And the cop says, let me see some ID. And you say, hey, man, am I being arrested? I don't want to show you my ID. You know, on the other hand, it's like, you know, you have these cops get, you know, really upset, and they think you're having an attitude and all this other stuff. Well, I don't know
that. It would make sense if I was like, fuck you, I don't got to show an ID.
Yeah,
I mean, if I was a cop, I'd throw someone in the car too if they told me fuck me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like you were saying earlier in the show, you know, there's level of respect. And I mean, in all honesty, I was showing them respect. I mean, I was just exercising my rights, but it seems like the more you exercise the rights, the more they get pissed off because you're not supposed to know the law. You know what I mean? They're supposed to be able to fuck you over, use everything against you.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know what to say. Listen, it's really painful. They're not supposed to do this stuff. You know it perfectly well, and this is the situation. And obviously, again, I'm with Tom. I want to believe that these are the exceptions, that most cops are, you know, professionals. And I don't understand, you know, what difference it makes how old you are smoking, where the hell it is. You know, maybe when you laughed, when they said, you know, you don't look old enough, you laughed. Maybe they thought you had, like, an attitude or something. But honestly, even if you did, you know, so what? Who gives a shit? Seriously. It's just really, really disturbing and really ignorant, you know? So I have to tell you, I'm really sorry it happened to you, but it's just stupidity, and you can't get into a whole thing about, you know, some kind of generalization about the cops, you know, being this way or being this type or whatever it is, because it's just a couple of really, really ignorant cops doing something like that. And,
and so my question being, what do I do from here? To take it to jury trial, or is it a civil thing? Like, you know, I mean, or how do I proceed from here? I mean, I'm definitely not trying to get stuck with this charge. I mean, and I don't know if a public defender is going to cut it, or, like, you know,
don't get me started on the public defender. You definitely don't use a public defender. That's beside the point. But, you know, I don't know that this is like, you know, you're going to, you know, collect millions or something like that. But at the same time, you know, you have to defend yourself. And, you know, I don't know what they're charging you with exactly, but it's some kind of public whatever.
It was resisting and obstructing. And I went online to read the Idaho law. I mean, resisting and obstructing is when somebody knowingly and willfully delays an officer from an investigation. And I don't know what the fuck I was delaying. I didn't even know that there was a fight previous to them showing up. So if I was delaying a fight that I had no knowledge of, how do they know that I knew about the fight? Or if I was delaying them from investigating underage smoking, like, I feel like that's fucking ridiculous, don't you think?
Yeah, that's really stupid. I don't know what to say about it. Don't use the public defender. Definitely get yourself a lawyer, okay?
Yeah, that's probably the smartest thing. I mean, yes.
I can hear you typing over there. That's what I was talking about.
Oh, Jesus.
I can hear you.
Someone's writing me about the show, Tom.
Understood. I'm just letting you know that when I'm at the ranch, I can hear that.
Oh, that's bullshit.
Really? I'm going to call it out next time I'm at the ranch. I'm going to call it out.
No.
All right, Alex, thank you for that. Let's go here to Ed in Detroit. Ed, you're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Great.
Hey.
Hey, I was wondering, can you have an OUI, DUI, whatever, wiped clean in Michigan?
Yeah, of course. Why not? The states do expungements. So what do you have? You have an old DUI?
Yeah, from 2012.
Yeah. Oh, 2012.
Right.
That's not so old.
Yeah, that's going to take a few years, let's say.
You have to be done. Well, no. People believe that. That's not how it works. Not in Michigan either, okay? there's some kind of thing that I don't know where this came from. One of my beliefs is bankruptcy. Apparently, when you go bankrupt, it's on your record for 7 years and then it goes off. But that has nothing to do with criminal law. And people have this idea that somehow it's going to automatically go off on its own or something like that. And that is absolutely not true. Okay? It does not go away on its own. It just doesn't. There's no such thing. So you're going to have to wait until you're done with all of the punishment, whatever it was. So you got to pay all the fines. Well, if it only happened in 2012, aren't you still on probation, for example?
No. 1 year.
Oh, really?
It's only for 12 months, and that's it.
Okay, well, that's good. You need to be done with whatever it is, and then you can request to be expunged. And it's something I really enjoy doing, so we'll talk about it if you want.
Okay, how soon could I buy a handgun?
Well, you got to get the charge off.
Because anybody to go shoot that bastard who accused you of driving drunk, fuck him.
Not saying that.
I think you got a little too far there, Tom. I think he had only...
You know, these things do happen at him.
I think he only had positive thoughts, and he wanted to use the gun for home defense and for the sportsmanship forth.
One more question. Tom, is it legal to give women cards with the company's name, like IBM, with your name printed on it? You're not violating any copyright laws, are you?
Yeah, if you use the logo and the name of the company, it would be, but I don't know anyone who's ever been prosecuted for that.
I was thinking about the thing where you give her the bank balance on the back of the...
The bank balance?
Yeah.
Well, that's much more.
No, actually, that's much less. There's no service mark or trademark involved.
I think that one's a-okay. I think the IBM thing is a little more dicey.
Right.
If you have a business card that's falsely representing you as working or being an employee of a company or whatever, I think that's really pushing the envelope.
Right. But I can't name anyone who's ever been prosecuted.
I think there's a lot more flexibility without the card.
DatingTricks.com,
that's right.
That's an advertising.
Yeah, then you don't have to use, of course.
But you're talking, you have a scrap of paper and you're writing on the back of it. I was thinking more when you're in the club and you tell the girl that you're a casting agent or whatever and you work for Paramount.
Well, you can say you're a casting agent and you work for the Joe Smith casting agency.
Yeah.
I'm also a photographer. I'm also an agent.
Also an agent.
Right.
Very nice.
You could say that.
You're a very versatile guy.
I'll tell you what.
I like it better when the woman wants a doctor and you're Dr. Shapiro. I like that.
Yeah, poof, I'm Dr. Shapiro. That's right.
You let her live the fantasy. You know, you could actually say that. That actually would work.
By the way.
You know, we were doing a psychodrama. We were play acting.
You know, my prank was, as a kid, I used to go to Yankee Stadium. I used to pick up the payphone. Put a dime in. I used to call the press box. I used to ask them to page Dr. Shapiro. Well, that's what I'm saying. Then I go down to the area where people would, go to answer these phone calls that they were getting, and you'd see 100 guys show up, all named Dr. Shapiro.
I love it.
Dr. Shapiro, please come to the press box. That's what I used to do.
You're the ultimate pranker, Tom.
Practice for being on the radio. That's what I did.
You must have known even then, huh?
Dr. Shapiro. 901-3000. Tom is my telephone number. Rick is in Woodbridge, New Jersey on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs. Hello.
How you guys doing?
Great.
Hey, Rick.
Good. I have a quick question, and I hate to, harp on an old subject.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it has to do with the DUI thing. I know we're going back.
No, it's okay. As long as you're not talking about Tom's arrest in Boston, okay?
That's
something we don't want to harp on.
I wasn't driving.
Go ahead. It's no problem. I love talking about DUI. It's no sweat.
Well, the thing is, it's a very severe thing, and
really,
I do not trust the breathalyzer at all.
Oh, by the way, the breathalyzer is a piece of crap. And there's been
highly inaccurate.
By the way, there's been all kinds of lawsuits about it. It's got proprietary software. No one even knows how it works. A lot of times a police officer using it with you is not trained, or he's only had it for a very short time. He doesn't know how to do it. They're not adjusted and calibrated. There's all kinds of crazy stuff.
Exactly.
By the way, drunk or sober, no way. No way. Give me the blood test.
Well, that's my question because, okay, fine. If it's a marginal thing and I have to rely on the breathalyzer to
forget
put me over,
what
no
marginal?
Way.
No way. Forget it.
No way. So I've seen them in action sometimes, and what they do is they word the breathalyzer like they say, hey, listen, if you're not taking this, you're just if you don't take this breathalyzer, you're admitting to, or you're we're going to book you for DWI. And I never, well, you know, I haven't been in a lot of situations, but it's going to be tough to, like, tell them, hey, listen, I understand and I don't want to take the breathalyzer, but
why,
I will do the blood test.
Why is it tough? Why is it tough?
Well, I don't know what the law is because they word it in such a way
they're not wording anything. I have seen it where they're practically putting it in the guy's mouth, okay? They're literally being almost forceful about it. The bottom line is, firmly, I do not trust the breathalyzer. I am not submitting to the test. I want a blood test.
Now, is that something that's just in California, or is it across the board?
That's standard. The bottom line is yes, of course. Did you see these people? And I think it was Pennsylvania. They were strapping them down and making them take a blood test. Did you see that? The cops have the right to do that to force you to give blood. Okay. I'm not saying not do anything. I'm saying that on the side of the road, they're screwing with you. They want you to take the breath test.
Right.
And
like
you,
the field sobriety thing is a joke.
By the way, you don't,
thing, I don't trust. Yeah. I'll take the blood test. No problem.
Officer, now, with respect, I'd like the blood test.
Exactly. Now, if I pull one of those, like if that's the way I'm cool, I'm not doing anything crazy, I'm not trying to like curse at them or anything.
Yeah.
If I stay cool and calm and just give them, hey, listen, I'll do the blood test. The one thing that's a little scary is that you're in that situation, you know, tensions are high, and it's just they word it in such a way where they kind of like, you know, hey, if you don't take this, you're admitting to being drunk, and that's it. And it's like, no, I'll take the, I'm not denying to take the test, or I'll take the test, but I'll take the blood test, you know. That's my thing. It's like, they word it in such a way where they almost force you to take it, or else it's like, the consequences are like, dude, you know, either take this right now, or we're booking you. That's it.
Right.
That's the tough part, you know.
Right.
The way they word it, it's tricky.
I feel you.
But I don't trust it. So
I think you have to assert yourself.
Okay.
I think that's the bottom line. I know that hurts. I know it's hard to do sometimes. There's a lot of times as a lawyer that, you know, I'm in a room full of people and I'm the asshole saying no. Everyone's saying, come on, sign. And I'm saying, no, I'm not going to. Okay.
Right.
And it's hard to be that one person. There's a really great movie called 12 Angry Men, which is about the jury system. And Henry Fonda is this one juror who holds out. And all the others are saying guilty, 11 of them, and he says not guilty. And it's very, very hard to be that one who doesn't go along. And you've got to be able to respectfully say to the officer, look, I understand you want me to do the breath test, but I'm not going to. Okay? And you've got to be able to stick to your guns. You know, and you got to be able to do it in a reasonable way. And that's the bottom line. And I know that's hard. And I know there's a lot of pressure. And ultimately, you're protecting yourself. It's not in your interest. It's quite against your interest. And so that's the bottom line. You have to be able to say, I'm not going to. I've made up my mind. And I am not changing my mind on this subject. That's it. Tough shit.
Andy in Olympia. You're on with Adam Sachs. Hello.
I have a quick question.
Sure.
I never drink. I don't have tickets for 20 years. No drugs.
Very nice.
Police, if police stops me, why would I still say, police officer, I really don't volunteer any information. I don't volunteer searches or rolling window down.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, do you think it's okay for the police to search your car? You wouldn't mind them doing that?
Just for practicality. If I say that, and I have nothing to hide, they let me go sooner, maybe?
No, see, that's a psychology thing that they like to say. they'll say to someone, can we search your house? And the person will say, I don't want you to search my house. And they say, well, do you have something to hide? And the answer is, no, I don't have anything to hide. I'm not letting you search my frickin' house. This is the United States. We have the Fourth Amendment. And you're not going to go digging through my shit. Okay? And I understand what you're saying. You're a law-abiding person. And I understand that you're not doing anything wrong. But why should the police be digging through your things? You know, you have the right to security in your person and your effects. That's in the Constitution. And I wouldn't want the police or, honestly, anyone in my home digging through my stuff. Right? You don't see that?
Oh, I do agree, but I was just, what do you think? If I do that, if I tell him no or tell him yes, what's the more likely outcome of me, you know, they letting go without any trouble? You know, they might hold me longer because they think, oh, this guy has something to hide. You know,
you never know when you're going to be shot in the head. They're going to say you stole a bunch of cigars or some shrimp or something.
Well, I understand the idea, and generally when you're the one who resists, you get to be on the top of the list, you know? But the reality is, as far as I'm concerned, there's no way. This is my person and my effects, and I am not going to let the cops trample in my home. There's no way. And you should understand that. That's an important right that we have. And as citizens, we own our own property, and I would not allow the cops to come through my house without a warrant, period. And they say, oh, can I search it? No, you can't. No. Can I look in your trunk? No, you can't. That's my fucking trunk. Bottom line, I don't want anyone in my stuff, and you shouldn't either. And that's an important right that we have in this country. God bless America.
I understand that part, too. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much.
Sure. Andy, thank you. Tell everybody again where they can reach you at.
Toll free, 800-340-7320, adam@adamlawyer.com.
All right. And you'll hear Adam again next Tuesday and every Tuesday live if you want to call in and talk to him and ask your legal questions. That is Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Serving the universe from an old laundromat in Burbank, 901 3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary, he's Dino.
What's up with that knucklehead?
We are brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com. Year's subscription to the number one selling magazine on newsstands devoted to beer. It's
What's up with that knucklehead?
I was moving my headphones around and it hit the button. Sorry.
It turns out that straight women have the fewest orgasms.
Of course.
Straight men, they're knocking it out.
Of course. By the way, lesbian women have the highest capacity for orgasms.
What does that mean?
They're just more able to, I guess.
Because all of the toys and shit?
I guess.
All that funky stuff?
Mm-hmm.
What else? I bet you they lick. I bet you they lick box
sure,
and
they,
anybody in town.
You know women, so they just get after it.
Right. They all ride the bus together to Tuna Town.
They definitely do. They are part of the man-hating club.
You know what they say about that? Happiest place on earth.
Yep. I keep getting kicked off the bus, so.
Yeah.
I guess I don't look right in a wig. It's fucked up.
Well, that's weird.
Trying to pass off as another lesbian doesn't work out.
Yeah. You know this DJ Hardwell? I know you know all the best DJs in town.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's the first thing I thought of. When I think DJ, I think Hardwell.
Yeah. Forbes has put together a list of the most successful DJs. This is incredible, dude. This,
you're just going to piss me off.
In the last 12 months. Mm-hmm. Has made $13 million DJing.
Yeah.
DJing.
Again.
He's 26 years old.
Yeah, there's no God. There's another example.
What the hell are we doing?
Mm-hmm. Paris Hilton made like $245,000 an hour.
Right.
DJing. In Brazil.
I would love, in the middle of one of these, insane music festivals, you know, with the beat thumping
and
the lights going and everybody on Molly, I would love to just get up there and do a News for Guys. see how it goes over.
I got the dude's 13 mil right here.
Right.
Sorry.
Hey, everybody!
Welcome to the Electronic Daisy Carnival.
I'm Gary, he's Dino!
Damn right.
Take your Molly and listen to News for Guys.
I bet News for Guys sounds okay on Molly.
Don't take the brown acid.
Yeah.
Cops say a South Carolina woman pummeled a man over farting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jessica Cerny, 33, was laying on the couch in a Myrtle Beach residence when Daryl McKnight apparently came in there and, he was intoxicated and he ripped one right in front of her face.
Yes. That's just not fair to take a beat down over that. He's an old dude.
Very pissed off.
Probably trying to eat right, maybe lots of fiber, veggies.
Yeah. All he wanted to do was crop duster and it worked.
Right.
And then our friend...
Or maybe he's like you. Maybe he just got back from McDonald's and Burger King in the same trip.
That's right. Nothing wrong with that. That's my version of the double-double.
Anything's possible. Speaking of people making a shit ton of money, Forbes also put together a list, 21 of the most successful models, top models.
Yes.
$142 million between all of them.
Kate Upton. Clocking in.
Five are new to the list, including Kate.
Yeah, 7 million.
7 million, man. God damn it.
She's incredible.
Yes.
I mean, Giselle is the top one. She makes 47 million. Or she did
how?
That year.
How?
Our girl, Dutz and Crows, man, 8 mil.
Oh, yeah.
She's worth it.
Yep.
I mean, all the Adriana Lima, they 8 million.
Worth it.
Kate Moss,
worth
7
it.
Million. I don't know.
No, Kate Moss.
We're taking her off that list.
I think she makes a lot in, like, doesn't she do, like, perfume ads and crap like that?
Yep. Miranda Kerr, to round it out, 7 mil.
How about that, man? That's pretty crazy.
Oh, Lou Wen. 7 mil.
All right. Everybody's making 7 mil.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, Alessandra Ambrosio.
What is she?
5
mil. 5
mil? She's getting robbed,
nothing,
dude.
Nothing. Totally.
She's getting robbed. Getting robbed.
Finally, a pick alert for you. Katy Perry went to Raging Waters. She wore what appeared to be a loose bikini bottom.
Yeah.
When she went in the water, it came down.
Oopsie.
You see her entire big milky white ass.
Yes. It's it's the titties that I'd be more concerned.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see those at Raging Waters.
No.
But if...
that would be unbelievable.
If it's tush, you must have quit. I don't know. It's dumb shit like that. There's plenty more news for guys.
Sense.
.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
See.
Be sure to check out the podcast. GaryandDino.com is where you find it. There's a brand new show for you every single Friday. It's GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
Your brand name is important to you, so it's important for you to protect it. SlamDunkDomains.com is where you need to start. The guys at Slam Dunk Domains are experts in helping you protect your brand with top-level domain names, .com, .net, .org, and many more. Plus, they'll host your website and email right at the same place. Visit SlamDunkDomains.com today. Enter coupon code TOM101 for a 15% discount on any purchase over $30. Let the guys over at SlamDunkDomains.com score for you and your business. SlamDunkDomains.com.
This is the new normal.